Bud. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Melissa. Glad to be here.
But JEA had been waiting and watching for this ruling. This is an extremely aggressive plan from the administration. What is the utility's initial reaction?
Well, we do see it as aggressive, and as you said, it's something that we've been expecting. The administration has been talking about doing a regulation to control carbon dioxide emissions from power plants for several years. So JEA has been planning for that, although, of course, we didn't know the details, and we still don't know all the details. I'd just like to point out that this is a proposed rule from the Environmental Protection Agency. They'll take comments for about 4 months from the public, including JEA will give its comments. We'll review this rule. It's the rule is 626 pages long, plus 376 pages of addendums. And it's complicated both technically and legally. So we've had it for 2 days.
Just 2 days. Right. You've got a lot to go through. But already you've estimated you might have to spend about $100 million to bring JEA's coal plants into compliance. Is that an accurate figure?
Probably not. I mean, that's a lot of money, and we expect that there will be a lot of money involved in this. But it's also a plan to get the emissions down by 2030, so that's 15 years from now, although you have to start showing improvement beginning in 2020. So it's not like you can wait till 2029 and do something all of a sudden. You have to start working early, and we're working now. You know, we've already done things like since about 2001, all the new power plants we've built have been natural gas. Natural gas, as kind of a rule of thumb, puts out about half the carbon dioxide to make a megawatt hour of electricity that a coal plant emits. So one way to reduce your CO2 is to burn less coal and more natural gas. Now, there's other ways to reduce that, and we'll continue to work on those. Renewables, for example, although renewables are not a big deal in Florida, certainly solar, wind, biomass, landfill gas, these are all things that JEA does now, and we'll have to look closer at that. And then also you can get credit for energy efficiency. So we'll continue. We've already, of course, been telling our customers, educating them on energy efficiency. We'll do more of that.
And if you're just joining the program, it's the centerpiece of the Obama White House plan to tackle climate change as the administration unveils aggressive new targets for reducing emissions around the country at America's power plants. We want your calls right now. What's your reaction to this? What are your questions for JEA? We'll go to the phones in just a moment at 549-2937. And so, Bud, in order to bring JEA into compliance, you mentioned renewables. JEA has been aggressively working on renewables. How will the mechanics of this work in terms of meeting these standards and reducing the emissions that are going into the atmosphere? How will you physically go about that work?
Well, first, let me just explain a little bit about how the process will go. So as I said, this is a proposed rule. They'll take comments from states, from utilities, from individuals, and then next June they'll finalize the rule. And the rule will actually give goals for states. So Florida will have a goal to reduce carbon dioxide emissions from its coal and gas, but primarily coal-fired generating units. And Florida will have some flexibility in how they do it and exactly the timeline. So then we'll work with the Department of Environmental Protection and other utilities and other interested parties in the state to come up with the state's plan. And that plan has to be submitted to the EPA by June of 2016, although you can pretty easily get a one-year extension, so say June of 2017. And then the EPA has a year to approve or not approve each of these 50 state plans. And so once we have that approval, then we'll really know what we have to do. But in general, we know that we're going to have to reduce the amount of coal that we use and increase zero carbon or lower carbon emissions. So, you know, an example of another thing that JEA has already done is we've contracted for 200 megawatts of nuclear power out of the two new nuclear units being built in Georgia, and that'll start in about 2017. And that's effectively zero carbon energy, and that can provide about 10% of the energy JA needs for its customers. So you'll have to do things like that. Florida and others will start looking at, continue to work at licensing new nuclear units. But we're also going to have to do better on renewables and much better on energy efficiencies.
And with all of the regulatory challenges ahead and the timetable for this, is it possible that when the White House changes hands in 2016, say it goes Republican, the Senate goes Republican, this has been a big priority for Democrats, not as big a priority for Republicans. Could we see some changes to this down the road?
You could certainly see some changes if the EPA finalizes the rule in June of 2015, and then of course we'll have elections in November of 15. It's really hard to undo an EPA rule. I won't say it's impossible, but it's very difficult to do that. The standard for undoing a rule that's gone through the correct process, it's just really hard to do. Now, there will certainly be court challenges on this, and there are parts of this rule that that lawyers that we've been talking to say are weaker than other parts, but they also say that EPA has done a good job of separating those different parts of the rule. So if one part of the rule gets overturned by the courts, the rest of the rule could stand. And we'll just have to see. That'll take a couple of years and won't really get started until the rule is finalized. Because until it's finalized, you don't know what you're challenging. JA is unlikely to sue to challenge the EPA rule, but there will be plenty of people that sue on both sides. There'll be utilities or coal companies that will sue and say that it's too strict, and there'll be environmental groups that will sue and say it's not strict enough. That's the world the EPA lives in.
And let me ask you as well the obvious question that many of our callers may also have. How will this affect the consumer?
Well, I think it will. Well, it will raise electricity cost in the long run. The EPA has said that, and the president has said that it will cause some increases. The EPA doesn't expect it to be very high, and if you take advantage of energy efficiency, then perhaps you'll be using enough less electricity that your bill could even go down. But that's all, you know, 10 to 15 years in the future. It's really hard to predict how that's going to work. A lot of it has to do with how expensive is natural gas. If natural gas is cheap, then it'll cost less to do this. If natural gas gets expensive as we start using a lot more of it, then it'll be more expensive to take.
Lots of calls, emails, and tweets, meanwhile, for JEA's Bud Pera. What are your questions and thoughts about the Obama administration's sweeping new ruling targeting the nation's power plants, a new rule aimed at cutting emissions? Give us a call. Let us know what's on your mind. 549-2937. Actually, I believe we need to reboot our phone system. I'm not able to access these calls right off the bat. Let's go to a few, as we get our callers in the queue, let me go to a few tweets, Bud. Here is one from Shauna. He mentioned landfill gas. Are there other waste equals fuel initiatives being leveraged locally?
None that I know of. JA gets energy from the Trail Ridge landfill and from the old closed Northside landfill. And, that's methane gas, which is a lot like natural gas. It's burned and generates electricity, although not a lot, but it does, it's significant enough for us to do. But there are places in other places in the country where there's big pig or chicken operations where they use the methane from the manure to generate electricity. And then, of course, there's hydro, which is, we don't have any places to put dams in Northeast Florida. And then there's biomass, where you burn tree trimming and waste materials. In Gainesville, they have recently constructed a 100-megawatt biomass plant, and that is online, and we're watching to see how that works for them.
Lots of treats for you, Bud. What about nuclear power? The sole reason for the reactor is to heat water. Are there less expensive and safer ways to do that?
Nuclear is expensive, but it's zero carbon. We think the new designs are safe. As I mentioned before, JA has a contract to buy power from the new nuclear units that are being built in Georgia right now. That'll come online in 2017. And then JA also has an option to buy ownership in two new nuclear units that are proposed by Duke Energy. I think it's in North Carolina. Those are still going through the licensing process. The ones in Georgia are actually under construction. The ones in, I believe it's North Carolina, with Duke Energy, once they get their license, then JA will have an option as to whether to buy that or not. And with this rule, we're more likely to want to do that, but that's a decision to be made in the future.
Here's a question. Another question from Twitter. It's from Jay. Is JEA going to move towards renewables with our coastline? Jacksonville would be ideal for tidal power production.
It is a possibility. We wouldn't say Jacksonville would be ideal for that because we don't have the really big changes in tides. In Seattle, right outside of Seattle, they have a pilot project that they've just gotten approved that they're going to put a couple of units that would go into the tidal flow, and we'll watch that with great interest. They have much more tidal flow there than we do in Jacksonville. Although, you know, up around Fernandina Beach in the St. Mary's River, there's pretty good tidal flows.
And we'll go to your calls in just a moment. We're having a slight glitch we're trying to address right now with our phone line. The number to join us here on First Coast Connect is 549-2937. Here's another tweet for you, Bud. And thanks for rolling with our technical challenges. Here's a tweet for you. What is JEA's renewable plan? Does JEA have plans for new investment that doesn't involve coal and gas? I think you addressed that a moment ago, but can you expand a little bit on that aspect of your portfolio?
You know, we do have solar. We own, that's you and me, and JEA owns 10 megawatts of wind that's in Nebraska. And we bought that mostly so that we would understand. We actually sell the energy at a slight loss. Into the market in Nebraska. It's too far away to really be in Jacksonville, but we wanted to learn about wind. The wind energy is just really not good enough in Florida to make it a good investment. Although as wind generators get better, maybe you would be able to do that. It also would be very difficult to license to put these giant windmills on the beach or near offshore, which is where the wind is better. We've seen people that have tried to do that have had real difficulties in getting those licensed.
And so all this is affecting power plants around the country. Are there best this is new terrain, isn't it, for utilities? Are there best practices to follow, or are you in uncharted waters here in some respects?
There are sections of the country. California has a statewide law requiring reduction of carbon dioxide, and in the Northeast, there's it's called REGI. It's a regional greenhouse gas program where those states limit the amount of greenhouse gases. In both cases, they don't have very many coal plants, which makes it a kind of a different challenge for them. One of the problems with this is that we don't have the technology that can scrub carbon dioxide out of the emissions. We have technology to scrub out sulfur dioxides, nitrogen oxides, and other things, mercury, but we just really don't know how to, on a commercial basis, scrub out CO2, and then what would you do with it once you had scrubbed it out, because it's still a gas.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about the Northside Station, and I'm quoting here from yesterday's report in the TU. In 2002, you unveiled a revamped Northside Generating Station. This was built with help from the feds because it fell under their clean coal program. In the ensuing decade, the rules have changed yet again. You'll have to retrofit that facility, correct?
Probably so. That's disappointing. We put a lot of effort in and the federal government put about $70 million that was a $300 million project. And they're good units. They're very flexible. One of the things that we'll be looking at is to whether they can effectively burn biomass. They have boilers that are very flexible in the kind of fuel they can burn. And if the EPA gives proper credit for burning biomass from on CO2, then we may be able to burn biomass, at least to a large extent, in those units. It's disappointing to have, they're the like the cleanest units in the country when they were built.
But
and
now,
then pretty. But then, you know, the rules change, and that happens.
What would you say? We're getting some tweets from listeners saying they don't feel JEA or other utilities have moved aggressively enough to renewables. What about that question?
You know, it's a cost thing. Renewables are just expensive, particularly in the Southeast where we don't have great wind. Wind has been the most cost effective. The cost of solar is coming down, but it's still solar cost. You know, it's just real expensive, and it's not dispatchable. It you get that energy whenever the sun is out, and when the sun isn't out, you don't get it, and that the clouds get to decide that as opposed to you and I deciding that. So, you know, we have maybe 130 homes in Jacksonville that have their own solar panels on their roofs, and that works for them, but it's expensive. And so, it you know, we try to keep our costs low, but we have to meet the environmental requirements, and we do. You know, that it's not an option. Are you going to comply with this rule? Yes, we must comply with the rule, and therefore we will.
Lots of callers waiting on hold. Meanwhile, we're still working to reboot our phone system, and we appreciate your patience while we do that. Our great engineers and staff are working on that right now. In the meantime, as people wait on hold, we've transcribed a few of your calls, but here's a call from a listener named Edward, and he asks, can we get or sell credits through cap and trade from other states?
Right now, we cannot do that. This rule would allow an individual state to set up its own internal cap and trade program, and then the rule also allows groups of states to get together. So that's a possibility, but Florida would have to join with, either have to do it just on itself, and doing it by yourself as a state probably wouldn't make much sense. But Florida could join with other states and do that, and we'll see. That'll be one of the things that Florida will look at.
And I think I've got some callers ready to go now. Let's try Chuck on the west side. Hey, Chuck. Thanks for holding. You're on the air, Chuck.
Thank you. I understand that Holland uses tidal generators, and with all of the water that we have around us and all of the strong currents that we have, why aren't tidal generators thought of?
We're getting questions about that from several people, actually. But
it is something that we've looked at. The currents are not that great in and around Jacksonville. As I mentioned earlier, there's a pilot program out in Seattle, and then there's another one that they're looking at in the New York, I think, in the Hudson River Basin. And we're watching that. And if those prove out to work, then it'll be something that we'll look at stronger. In and around Jacksonville, but you got to have a place with where a lot of water flows, and we have a lot that comes in and out of the St. John's River. But you've also got to have a place to put it where you're not going to get in the way of river traffic and in our case the Navy base.
Logan on the west side. Hey, Logan, thank you for holding and go ahead.
Good morning. I'm an electrical engineer, and I've been researching Tesla's technology from back when he was around. And I'm just curious as to, we're talking about renewable energy and self-sustaining. Why aren't we using his Gwin Tower technology? It was backed by J.P. Morgan until Edison started a smear campaign at the time. And even to this day, no one wants to talk about it. But it was 100% self-sufficient and self-sustaining.
Thanks, Logan.
Say the name of that again.
Oh, we lost the call. I'm sorry.
I'm not familiar.
That's
with
my
that.
Fault. I accidentally hit the drop button.
Well,
go ahead,
maybe
go
Logan
ahead.
Could send us an email.
An
to
email.
Him. I didn't catch the name of that. I caught the Tesla part.
Sure. Logan, email us at firstcoastconnect@wjct.org, and we'll forward your question on to Bud. And here are some comments on our Facebook page. Here's one from John for you, Bud. What JEA subsidies are available for installing home solar panels?
We don't have a subsidy right now for home solar panels. What we do have right now is a net metering program so that it's as if your meter spun backwards. If you put in solar on your roof, if there's any hours when you're sending power to us, when you're generating more power than you're using, then you're sending power to us, we effectively pay you the retail rate for that power that you send to us. But there's no, we don't have a an incentive payment up front. Paying you the full retail value is a pretty good incentive.
So what are your final thoughts about this? Obviously, you have your work cut out for you.
We have a lot of work to do. We have some time to do it in. It's going to be expensive. JA is going to work to hold our rates steady, and we're going to comply with the rule. We're still a couple of years away from knowing what the final rule is and what we'll need to do.